Okay, welcome back for another hour of Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Here's an update for you. We watch what's going on around this planet for you at night. And that situation in that restaurant in Bangladesh, as, of course, commandos raided the place, killed at least six militants. 20 people in the restaurant, though, were killed, 20 of the hostages. They apparently are dead. That's what we're beginning to at least hear. What a tragedy. Again, another senseless series of waste everywhere. Just don't get it. Okay, we're going to come back, take your calls and your text messages to Tom in just a moment. Okay, welcome back to Coast, and I'm looking forward to the weekend with you, let me tell you, because I'm tired of these world events. Aren't you? Just too much. Let's go to Ross in Tonopah, Arizona. Hey, Ross, good morning to you. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi, how's Ross? I'm good.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the Ouija board, and there, I have a cure for it. And what I mean by that is a lot of people, you know, they want a little fear, excitement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They use the Ouija board, and then mm-hmm. their whole life is kind of, they feel like it's ruined.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And
what's the solution?
Well, there's a game called Zyac, Z-Y-A-C, and it uses the pendulum to find the coordinates for the letters and numbers. And you don't turn the letters and numbers over until after you find all the coordinates.
Huh.
Yeah, it's called Zyac, Z-Y-A-C.
Is it an app, or what is it?
Oh, no, it's a little board game.
Ah,
and you
okay.
can you can make your own. You just need like wooden buttons or.
And what does it do? Decipher the Ouija board?
No. You can tune into your guides or your upper dimensional team, is what I call them.
Through this other game.
Yeah, through the other game, and the pendulum when it swings, it's real calming. And you know you don't get the letters right away. You get the coordinates for all the characters, and then. And then you turn over the little buttons.
So you're recommending people do this instead of the Ouija board, I take it.
Yeah. And okay. It also will make you understand that you can get good communications and not be scared about it.
Interesting take. And so no bad communications have happened with this thing?
Generally not. I mean,
what do you mean? What do you mean generally not?
Well, yeah, you can go and watch some of the videos. It's just something under ZYAC predictions, Zyac predictions. And
Never heard of that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Some of them, I mean, if you take the first character and the last character, there's a number of videos that have F and U as the first and last character.
Yeah, okay. So, I see where you're headed.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's one way to... That's another mini message.
I don't know, Ross. I think those kinds of games, whether they're Ouija boards or Zyac, something happens. Something goes wrong. I really do. You sound like you've had some luck with it. Let's go to Elizabeth in Moscow, Idaho. Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Mr. Norrie. I would like to ask you a couple questions about the food.
The food? Yes, you may.
Yes. Okay. I, like I told your answer man.
My answer man. Hey, answer man.
Yes, the answer man. That I was pretty much bedridden for about 6 months for my arthritis.
Oh, God.
And, oh, I know, but that's beside the point.
But you're up and at 'em now?
I'm up and at 'em.
Good
and
girl.
And when the doctor said I could go out, I went out and I took a nice little stroll with my dog. And I was like, oh, lovely night. Oh, this neighbor they have coffee. And I kept walking. And, oh, this neighbor smelled like they had spaghetti. And this neighbor smelled like they had some kind of a steak or some kind of a meat. And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I thought to myself, Holy schmolies. If everybody's going to be beating each other up in the grocery store, and yes, thanks to you,
yeah,
and Alex, I have prepared myself, but I don't want to be shooting people when I can look at a house and I can see smoke coming out of the chimney and I can smell what they're cooking. So what's a girl with a dog, a cat, and two fishes supposed to do?
Well, see, with what we talk about at My Patriot Supply,
yes,
you don't smell
I love
all that.
Them.
You don't smell all that stuff.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about that. You're afraid someone's going to try to break in, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Are you able with a weapon?
I live in Moscow, Idaho. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, anybody would be a fool to break in then.
I've got three and then some.
And your dogs will wake you up before anything even happens.
But the point is that I'm okay, but there are other people out there who may not be okay.
I know, Elizabeth, but you can't take care of the planet. You got to take care of yourself first.
Well, you are taking care of the planet. Why can't I?
Well, because I have this vehicle, this radio. If I didn't have this radio show, I couldn't do half of what I want to do for people.
Well, I'm trying to just reach out and make sure that people know that, you know, they do have to, yes, you have to be prepared.
You have to be prepared and build an island. Take care of people in your own community or people that you can reach out to. And maybe they can reach out, and then the next person can reach out, and it'll grow that way. But you got to take care of yourself and your close-knit family first.
Well, yeah. It's just me, my dog, my cat, and my
Well, sister. That's your family. You take care of them first,
of course.
And you watch what grows after that. Text message, Tom. What do we have?
Gracie in Rochester. She says, every Friday, we hear about more and more UFO sightings being reported. Do you still take your stance that we're not even close to disclosure?
Yeah, absolutely. Governments will not make disclosure. We're going to find out about this officially from some person who goes rogue from an agency and comes forward. But I don't think there's going to be a national news conference with the president saying, folks, we're being visited. Or they would have done it by now.
But you think it will happen in our lifetime with someone kind of rogue?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Yeah, I
really don't.
Poor Steve Bassett.
I'm at odds with Steven. Steven will be 99 and he'll be doing this.
But you know what? If it happens, you're going to see the happiest guy on earth.
Well, and if it does happen, he'll be one of those who can take credit for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He'll cry.
He's done his best. Okay, thanks, Tom. Stacy in Massachusetts, welcome to the program. Hi, Stace.
Hi. I have something to share with you, and I have a question, too,
okay.
If I don't know about.
Sure.
So talking about strange behaviors, a few months ago, my neighbor and I went to Dunkin' Donuts, and the line was to the door, and the lines were side by side. And I was walking with a recited guide, so they can't see.
Uh-huh.
And I accidentally bumped into someone next to me, and I said, I'm sorry. And she got so aggravated, she kind of elbowed me.
Oh.
And my neighbor moved me away, but she didn't realize it was she thought it was clearance, because I was walking a little bit behind her.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, move to my right in this room. But there wasn't like she thought. And she got so angry that way. It scared me. And my neighbor said, you should see her face.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And did the lady know you were blind?
I would think so, because I was holding on to an elbow. Usually that's a sign of steady guy.
Oh, jeez. Man, people are screwed up. They really are.
And also, do you know anything about radios?
Yeah.
Okay, so I had a radio that was 13 years old, but I had to toss it because it was worn out. So I went to Walmart to get another one.
Okay.
And it was a radio CD player. That's all I need. And they don't make ones with manual antennas anymore. So the sales rep said, oh, this one's a good one. It has a built-in antenna, but it's not working as well. My channels get changed on their own. And tonight I have a hard time listening to your show because it's so staticky. So I have to take the cord and hold it or drape it over the radio. And I don't want to keep doing that because I'm going to warp my cord, and I can't bring it back now because I don't have the receipt or the box. So now I have, and I really like your show. That's why I bought a new radio.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to put you on hold. I want you to give Tom your name and address, and I'm going to buy one from C. Crane and have them ship you the CC Radio 2E.
Thank you.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. You're on hold. Tom, would you get Stacy's information? Please email it to me while I'm here in St. Louis, and I'm going to get it to Bob Crane, and we'll get you taken care of, Stacy. It may take a week or so, but we'll get it out to you. So no, don't worry about that. Let's go to Kyla in Toronto. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, George.
How are you?
Really good, thanks. I have two things for you.
Sure thing.
The first one is, yesterday was Tonda's 149th birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you didn't mention it yet.
Well, happy birthday.
Friday, July 1st, when Tonda turned 149 young.
That's great.
The other thing is, I'm talking about how people are acting so strange and laughed out a lot lately.
Even in Toronto, I bet.
Even, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with diet. There are so many processed foods and stuff. There are so many things linked to sugar. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but back in the early 50s, they were doing studies on whether schizophrenia was related to gluten or not. And they found, nothing conclusive, but they found that in countries where wheat was a very, very scarcity because of after the war, that there was next to no schizophrenia.
Interesting take. Well, I know gluten does strange things to people.
And other countries where millet was their prime, whatever, had low. And there's studies that they think that sugar is linked to schizophrenia. They say that the brain...
Oh, yeah, sugar's not good for you at all. Not like that.
The brain needs more nutrition and stuff than any other part of the body. And sugar, high blood sugars, cause the brain to shrink. And our diet now, like all the GMOs and all the crap and all the sprays and all the crap.
It's coming at us, Kyla, like crazy. Like crazy. But, you know, you just got to watch what you're doing. Look, that's why we do these health shows a couple times a month. All right? That's not a lot, but they're so important. That's why it's called criticalhealthnews.com. You have to take care of yourself. I had a friend of mine today sent me a message. She's a single mother, and she works, makes money working at night in a restaurant. And so her only life living income is working. She had to go home for 3 days. She thinks, pneumonia. Her resistance is down. Her immunity is down. I told her, you know what? We got to get you on these criticalhealthnews.com programs and take care of yourself. And she admitted it. She said, you know what? You're right. Absolutely. You have got to take care of yourself. I do it. Look, I had a health scare back in 2000, and I don't talk too much about it. And it literally changed my life because it was on Christmas Eve, and I couldn't go to Christmas Eve festivities at my daughter's house where my entire family was. And I spent a week in the hospital. And I came out, and keep in mind, I wasn't overweight, I didn't smoke, but something went wrong. And I went into a health regimen that is absolutely unbelievable, and I do it all the time. And you know, maybe one day I'll share it with you, but that's why I do these programs. I mean, you have to be healthy. If you can't be healthy, you can't take care of the people you care about. Robert in New York City. Hello, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Good morning. How are you?
You too. Boy, it's what time is it in New York? It's almost 4:30.
You know what? I think it's already September.
It's getting there.
I'm thinking it's 4 o'clock. Let me check.
Yeah, it's almost 4:30 out there. It's 4:24.
Yep. So aloha from the other big island.
That's right.
A couple of Star Trek things for you.
Okay.
the United States Postal Service, in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, the TV show,
mm-hmm.
is printing commemorative stamps.
Ah, how about that?
Very cool.
My dad used to collect all those things.
Right.
I don't, but he used to. He loved that stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And especially for our generation that grew up with Star Trek, it's 50 years old. The post office is going to do, like, I think, 4 stamps. One has the Starship Enterprise, and I'm not quite sure what that plate block is.
That'd be nice keeping. Just put it away somewhere, right?
Oh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy an entire sheet and frame it.
Yeah.
It's a very cool thing.
Yeah, it'd be worth something one day. Who knows?
Well, I'm not worried about that so much. But, you know, I'm from the Woodstock generation.
Yeah. My dad used to collect coins and everything.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, a couple other Star Trek things, if we got a couple of minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
When the first Star Trek movie came out, Star Trek the Motion Picture,
mm-hmm.
and all the Trekkies were into the big movie theater, and it was a big screen and big sound and stereo, and it was a big event rather than watching Star Trek on a little small color TV in your living room. The genius of, I think it's Harv Bennett, that directed the first Star Trek motion picture.
Okay.
All right, now picture this. 6 or 7 minutes before the film actually starts, the lights dim in the theater.
And everybody loves that when that happens.
Wait a minute, it gets better. It turns into a planetarium.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the whole ceiling, everything?
Ceiling, the screen.
Oh, that's cool.
Stars floating around. It's like you're in a big, giant planetarium.
In just a regular theater.
Yeah. It was fabulous.
That's a great setup.
That's genius, because the anticipation to see the movie was building and building and building. And then you finally get to your seats, and everybody's got their popcorn and candy and drinks and whatever. And you're sitting in what looks like you're flying in space.
I love it.
Looking out like the Star Trek view plate,
yeah.
Whatever they call it. Genius. I have that DVD. It's killer.
Super.
It's absolutely killer. Going back to crazy people and whacked out and just nuts stuff going on.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere. I was in a restaurant the other day. Me and my friends are having dinner and eating and just enjoying each other's company.
Like in a restaurant on Manhattan?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
All right.
Yeah. Regular restaurant, nothing special.
All right.
There's a fellow at another table that his cell phone constantly rings.
That's annoying.
Big time.
Put it on silent, you know?
Yeah, a vibrate, anything.
Yeah.
And what's even worse, George, the ringtone...
it was obnoxious.
...was a telephone ringing. Like from the 50s or 60s.
Yeah, one of those old ones.
Yeah, it kept on ringing during dinner, eating. So finally, I mean, my friends have said, you know, this is like, it is obnoxious, it's rude. I don't care what he's talking about, but call after call after call. So finally, we're just finishing up dinner, and his phone rings once again. So I yell out, hello? Like I was answering his phone.
Yeah.
Just to let him know, dude, you're not the only one that hears that.
And the entire restaurant heard it, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
You would think management would have gone up to him and said, sir, would you please put that on silent?
You're absolutely right.
Tap
him on the shoulder and say, you know what? This is not your office.
Yep, they should be doing that. We're coming back. Final segment of Open Lines. Skype is open at George97313. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get right back into Open Line calls. Let's go to Dennis on the wildcard line. He's in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Welcome to the show, Dennis. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for holding in there for us.
Oh, no, thank you. I thought to myself, you know, who better to tell my story, which I've never written about before, than George and Coast to Coast listeners.
Oh, perfect.
About Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. He tried to kill me.
Oh, my God. What happened?
Well, let me explain. I'm in Coeur d'Alene now, so I grew up in Southern California in La Mirada. I talked to you a few weeks back. I
right.
tried to mention that.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, well, I had a girlfriend that I was with for 9 years, 10 years, and we had a baby together. We lived in Buena Park. So she found a home in Whittier, a rental home, off of Telegraph Road there. And out at this property, there's a golf course there. You might know. You guys might know. Help me with that. This golf course is right there off of Telegraph, and this property where we were in, it went out to the back and it had these giant eucalyptus trees, and it dropped down into the golf course, chain link fence.
Oh, sounds gorgeous.
Well, it was a really bad rundown house, and
I mean the area though.
It's kind of nice over there, but I didn't think much of that area, but the baby's mother wanted to get in there, so there was a rental and everything. And so we got in there, and we had a neighbor to one side. His name was Paul, older man. And to the left side, there was this man named Steve, and he had two kids and a wife. Well, next to him was the school that's there. There's a school right there. So at that time, everyone was scared to death about this killer killing at night. And nobody knew who he was at that time. So I was worried about the baby and my girlfriend.
Sure.
So, yeah. You can talk with me along here, George.
Well, Ramirez, by the way, for people who don't know, was convicted of killing at least 13 people.
That's right. Yeah, 16 total. He'd go in the house at night and shoot the man in the head, and then he'd turn around and
molest the woman. That's
molest
right.
Molest the woman. Yeah, he usually leave the babies alone. Stone cold psycho. So he had everybody frightened, and I was one of them. So my dad, I borrowed a pistol from him, a high standard pistol. I grew up shooting, had my Boy Scouts hunter safety license, shooting in the Mojave Desert on the weekends. So I had the pistol, so we had split up. And I think what he had done was he was hanging in that area. He did a murder somewhere in that area in Whittier, killed somebody there in Pico Rivera, Monterey Park, and so forth.
He couldn't stop. The guy was a sicko.
Yeah, crazy, And so I thought, you know what, who better to share the story with than George, and tell it for the listeners. So what I did was I got the pistol, so... I was a truck driver, driver, and I was doing roll-off lumber at the time, so I'd get up at like 4 in the morning and 3:30 and drive to San Gabriel to the yard over there. Well, anyways, I'm in my room, and it's summer, so it's real hot, and those homes were built in the 40s and 50s, so all the wooden windows, you can't open them at all without a ton of noise, they're all like the paint.
Yeah, and they're swollen, and so you really got to push them open.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly right. And then at the front door was all this wooden decking, and the back door, too. So the back door of the house, it was so hot, no air conditioning. And I was by myself then because we got in a fight, and she went back to her mom's house with the baby. And this is maybe by, God helping us out.
Yeah, fate kicked in on that one.
Yeah, George, yeah. So anyways, I had the pistol there. But we got this dog. So me and my daughter and the baby's mom, we went and found this dog, and we put names in a hat to name it, and they wanted to call him Benson. So my little daughter picked the dog and the name out of a hat, so we ended up naming him Benson. So,
all right.
So me and Benson are in bed. I'm in a king-size bed, and he's sleeping on the end of the bed. So I have a digital clock next to me. And all of a sudden, I'm sound asleep. So I left the back door open so air could come in.
Sure.
Yeah, front door closed. But I knew that nobody could get in this house because there's too much creaking and going on. And that a good dog, there's no way anybody can get past the dog.
Okay.
So that was my security there with that back door. So there was a screen door that was closed. So I'm in the bed, and then all of a sudden the dog goes totally crazy. I'm asleep.
Oh.
So I wake up and I look over at the clock. It's 2:30. So he's going nuts, and I hear the screen door like slam or something.
Oh.
Noise, bang. So I grab the pistol and I slither out of the bed on my side by the wall there. And I'm looking through the darkness in the house. It's all dark. So, and I'm kind of leery. So I go into the bathrooms, all the rooms in the house, and clear all that. And I look out and the dog's going crazy out in the backyard. So I see him, and I'm looking through the darkness, the eucalyptus trees, the, back out there, and I see this guy standing on the other side of the chain link fence.
Oh, man. Just standing there, like peering in at you?
Yeah, he was just standing there, and the dog's, you know, going crazy, barking at him. And, you know, I'm just going, man, that's weird.
Well, but he had already been in your house.
He was in the house, George, I'm sure of it. And when I tell you, you know, it's not much longer, I'm going to, you know, go with this. So, you know, try to hurry and save time here. The neighbors come out. So we meet out, but what I did was I fired some shots over his head. I'm a very excellent shot with guns. You know, I shot all my life. So I threw some rounds over into the tree over the top of his head. Didn't even phase him. He wasn't even, like, didn't even bother him. So I see this, all this movement of this figure there and the dog, you know, barking at him.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid of anything. And this guy's walking casually, and the neighbors come out on each side, Steve and then Paul, man.
Is he, like, walking away from you?
Yeah, he's walking along, you know, in the outside of my property in the schoolyard.
All right.
And the guy next to me, there's a chain link fence dividing his property and the schoolyard, too. It comes in at an angle into my property, which is a rectangle. It goes straight out the back. So evidently, he tried to get in the house. And
well, let me tell you what happened.
Okay,
he gets in the house. He realizes that you're there alone with the dog. And he sees no woman there because his M.O. was, as you just said, he kills the guy and molests the woman. Well, without molesting the woman, because there wasn't anybody there, he's not interested in just murdering you. So he leaves.
Yeah, that could be. I was asleep, yeah. That makes sense. It must have been set me up for it. I must have known that the girl and the baby and me, right?
Maybe he saw you before, saw both of you. Who knows?
Yeah, because there was a very good curtain.
Now, here's the question, though. How did you know that it was Ramirez?
Yeah, I'm getting to that now. So the guy's walking along, and I'm looking at this guy. So I told Paul, we're out front. I go out in the front. They go, Dennis, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, some guy just tried to break in the house. And so Paul, he'd be dead for sure now because he was real old back then. I'm 62 now. So I go, we're out in the front, and Steve's younger than me, maybe 10 years. And so we're talking, and I said, the guy tried to get in. He's walking right along the schoolyard. Benson was attacking him over there at the fence and running from the house back.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at this guy walking along, and we start to see him, and he just casually walks to the end there of the schoolyard, and there's a gate to exit the field onto the sidewalk where we're at. You know, and he's probably, a football field away, a football field away.
Not running, just kind of walking along.
Yeah, but he wasn't afraid at all, and he's carrying something like a weapon or a gun. We couldn't tell.
Wow.
I had the pistol in my hand, but he looks out, and it's long, stringy hair, and I'm seeing that face. And I look at the guy, and we didn't know who the Night Stalker was then.
So then you see a picture later and realize it's the same guy.
That's it. And exactly. And he looked at us and gave us this evil look. And
I gotta tell you, I gotta move on with a couple more quick calls, Dennis. But God was watching you, and I'm telling you, had your girlfriend been in the house that day, you would have been dead. He would have killed you. Final text message, Tom, what do you have for us?
The whole case is so amazing to me,
oh
the Richard
God.
Ramirez thing.
Yeah.
Ugh. Jerome in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, George, besides your dad, who did you look up to as a kid?
My mom, too. She was, and still is, just a wonderful woman who got me involved in the paranormal, but she did a lot of other things. You know, my dad worked a lot at the Ford Motor Company. Mom taught me how to play baseball and all kinds of things. She was my best buddy.
Your mom taught you how to play baseball?
She sure did, and I was pretty darn good, too.
Oh, man, I'm going to ask her to play catch next time I see her.
She used to pitch, and we played in the backyard. And when I finally hit the ball over the roof of the house, she said, your training is done. You're ready.
Home
and
run.
It was cool, yeah.
Anybody outside the family, though, that you might have looked up to?
Yeah, a guy named Guy Gibson, who I hated when I first got my first radio job when I was 21 years old. And he literally taught me to be a perfectionist. And I grew to like him and love the guy. And then he died. He died in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, man.
He was truly one of a kind. Well, I've got time for a real quick more with Summer in Lawrence, Kansas, for about a minute or so. Summer, go ahead.
Hi. You had a guy talk about earlier, how the chemtrails weren't real.
Yeah, he said they weren't real.
And I guess you could say I have a rebuttal. If our government over 50 years ago put toxins in the air at a low-income housing place, chances are they have people to know the wind patterns of that day.
Oh, my God, yeah, and they sprayed people in St. Louis. They tested our sailors on ships with biologicals. Chemtrails are real.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to clarify that, too, when I heard him say that it's not real. There's so many things that our government does that is national security.
Not to say that, they're, of course, there's jet vapor, but, you know, these chemtrails, you wake up in the morning on a nice clear day, and then 5 hours later, tic-tac-toe patterns all over the place. And you don't get that every day. If it was just vapor trail, you have the same routes from planes every day, you'd get the same condition, but you don't. They spray us, and they have been spraying us for a long, long time. We've got a lot of you still on hold, but we're just about wrapping things up. But we're going to be live Saturday with Dave Schrader. I'll be on Sunday with emerging artists and a great program for you, and then live on Independence Night on Monday. So make sure you're listening.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast.
Ferdinand Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Alex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.